Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 280 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Monday, May 22nd, 2023. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, I had the notes scrolled down to the bottom. I had to find the script, man. I couldn't. You'd think after doing 280 of these, I would remember the intro because it's been the same for every single one.
Right?
But yeah, no, well, somehow I still screw it up, so.
Well, you know, you're just Ron Burgundy reading the prompter.
Right.
It's okay.
It's because it's...
You got through it, though. You did good.
We're a day early this week. That's why. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. We're cramming it in.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it's because of excitement reasons.
Right.
But we're also very busy
yeah.
this week.
So yeah. Yeah, I guess...
We figured, let's knock it out on a Monday.
Technically, I believe it's me that's forcing us to go on Monday, but it's kind of you, too, so...
Yeah, it's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I start camping season this week as Memorial Day approaches, so I am getting the heck out of Dodge, and I'm going to disappear and hopefully not be heard of for a few days. So
nice.
Just the way I like it. And be back in time to watch the All-Star or the Coke 600. So.
There you go. I am in the process of booking. I have my hotel room, which I already had booked, but now I booked it with points because I have tons of points. So I have my hotel room booked for Atlanta. I was flight shopping last night. I think we're going to fly down and do that whole deal. So, yeah, looking forward
heck
to that.
Yeah, man.
And still trying to debate whether to go, I guess, is it not next weekend, but the following weekend down to Salem to watch the CRA late models. Because I've always wanted to go to Salem, Indiana and Salem Speedway. But a 6.5 hour drive to watch two late model shows, I don't know. I don't know,
that's
man.
That's a lot. That's a commitment. Yeah.
That's a NASCAR commitment, and I'm not seeing NASCAR, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that's a big one.
There could be some big names there, though. I bet you that Josevar's there, and some of those guys. I'm sure there'll be some big names. But
speaking of Mr. Josevar,
yeah,
one of my favorite moments from the weekend came from him, and this is kind of my shout out, I guess. But you brought him up, but he qualified on pole. For a moment and he's getting out of his truck and God bless the television broadcast. They're watching him climb out of his truck and he looks up at the scoreboard and, verbally says what Bubba Wallace, motioned at the end of the All-Star race. So
yeah,
I was like, oh, okay. Well, they didn't cut the camera off quick enough.
Right.
It was great. It was great. And I just remind you, I love that kid.
Yeah.
He's reckless, but that made me laugh.
He is. He's a dart without feathers, but we like that.
Yes, we do. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Well, that's the series to do it in, right?
Yes,
of course. Do it in that series. You don't do it in the Cup Series.
That's right.
Well, James, we are coming into this after one of the most highly anticipated weekends of the year. I know it was certainly one of my most highly anticipated weekends of the year. We finally, after, I didn't do the math myself, but TV kept telling me 27 years. So after 27 years, we had Cup cars on the track at North Wilkesboro Speedway. And the question is, did it disappoint?
No, absolutely not.
No, I agree.
100%. I thought the weekend was a great celebration.
Yeah.
And, Eric, we'll probably get into it a little bit more, but the race, I was having just a good old time texting you. It was great.
Yeah, you and I both have had this conversation before, a good old fashioned butt whooping, as Larson almost put it, which is also the title of the podcast, thanks to you. but, you know, those are good every once in a while. We don't want to see them every week. But, you know, when Martin Truex dominates the Coca-Cola 600, when Kyle Larson stinks up the All-Star race, you know, those are fun once in a while. And, I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on whether you're a fan of his or not, Larson's done this a couple times. And,
yes, he
really took a race that everybody was really excited about and kind of stunk up the show. But I still thought it was fun. I thought that what we had, I mean, first of all, you could have... I'd say you could run single file with no passing all the way around this place and everybody still would have been happy, which kind of is what we did.
Yeah, except for one guy who plowed through the field.
Right. Right. But I mean, if you're going to have a race like that, this is one that you can get away with it on because everybody was just so happy about being there. But man, Larson, geez, I'll tell you what, you know, I doubted it, James. I doubted it halfway when you chatted with me and said that it was over. yeah. I thought, no, it's going to get exciting. No, but it's Kyle freaking Larson, man. This guy, he's just the best.
He loves when there's big money on the line.
He's so damn good.
Yeah, he was. I think I texted you too that I thought it was kind of adorable that other teams and other drivers were trying to run his line,
right,
and getting onto the concrete, and he was so freaking smooth. Just, I mean, that was, I know people, this is the Jeff Gluck problem of watching races now. Everything is either good or bad,
right?
I mean the craft. Just if you watch the craft of what he was doing out there, it was next level, unbelievable.
Well, and the best part was everybody was surprised by it, but he did it the day before.
He was great in the trucks race. I mean, he just kind of found his groove with that place. And you know, when we had that early caution and he came in for tires because his car they were grumbling. There was some grumbling going on,
right?
But they slapped on those tires, and he was passing inside. He was passing outside. He never made contact with anybody. He was just, and there's a NASCAR put out a time lapse video of him marching through the field.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's super impressive, man. And I was thoroughly enjoying it. And I texted you too. nothing makes me happier than somebody stealing everybody's feel good and just absolutely leaving everybody with their just kind of feeling bad. And he even said he saw people leaving. He said, I sure hope they don't have to come back because I mean, he knew, you know, that was just, I mean, one, you don't get the thing that I always appreciate, Eric, is we don't get these that all that often.
Right.
And I know people want wild and crazy all the time, but you're not going to get that. Every once in a while, somebody's going to show up. And they're just going to take your lunch and they're going to leave. And that's pretty much what happened on Sunday.
Yeah. There's nothing else to say about it. He just whooped up on everybody. The race was, I mean, if it was any other track than North Wilkesboro, we'd probably be throwing a fit about how boring it was. But I don't think it was boring because these guys still had to drive their cars, and that was fun to watch.
Oh, they were wheeling them, man. They were a handful to drive. I think it was Chase Elliott had said that, you know, there's still the issue with the short track package where they couldn't get to guys. And that's, you know, you can't expect them to fix the short track package the way it is right now. It's tough. But, I mean, the cars were a handful. The track was a handful. You can't, you know, I looked up some Wilkesboro races from way back in the day. I mean, heck, the very last race there, Jeff Gordon led, you know, almost 60% of the race or whatever it was. So, I mean, it's not unheard of. It's kind of a one groove place as it is, but, you know, that combined with the short track package being kind of testy is tough.
Right. I retweeted something from Jonathan Oates on Twitter. Even with A, nothing on the line, B, the worst short track package in history, C, half the size of a normal field, North Wilkesboro will still put on a good race. Give this place an honest chance with a good package and a real race, and it will deliver, guaranteed. And I agree. I agree 1,000% with that statement.
Yeah, and you don't have to love the race to love everything else about it.
Right.
You know, love the experience. The crowd was absolutely nuts.
It was so electric.
Yeah, it looked like they were having a blast out there. And that's what you do. That's why they put all this money into this place to make it a special venue. And
now that being said, that's only going to last so long here, you know?
Oh, yeah, you can't.
They might get another race out of it with the sentimental, with all the feels, and then they're going to have to put on a good product or people are going to start revolting. But I think by that time, NASCAR will have this stuff figured out, too. I think they learned a lot with the tire this weekend. I think they learned a lot on Saturday when we had to run the rain tire, the wet weather tire.
That was good racing. The heats were really good.
I think that really is going to help Goodyear determine how soft they can make a tire, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's going to help a lot in the long run. So,
yeah.
James, you know what? I think, first of all, I really, a couple things with this race. We had, It was a 200 lap race. We ran 100 laps and 100 laps, essentially. I mean, we did have that one caution in the first stage, but basically, we had it set up to where you, unless there was a caution, there was no strategy. You're going to pit for tires and you're going to take tires. And we had one caution, which threw the strategy off, which gave Larson the lead. I mean, it didn't give Larson the lead because he drove through, but
yeah, he had drive through.
He still had to do Larson things, but it helped to get him off strategy from everybody else. And then the race played out the rest of the way without any cautions. I would really like to see as that tweet says, you know, a full length race here would be something to where you actually have to work on strategy. You actually have to make a green flag pit stop somewhere. I thought the green flag pit stop aspect was really interesting because you saw guys, you know, like Kyle Busch go down two laps, but still able to come back and get one of those laps back. And I think if a whole race plays out, you definitely see some advantage to pitting for those tires under green flag early and coming back up through the field. It definitely plays a bigger role. The other thing is you have half the cars, like they said, on the track. I mean, there were 23 that started this race.
Yeah.
So, you know, that you add those extra cars to the track. Now there's more cars sliding around. Now there's more chances for cautions. There's more chances for people to get off strategy. I really, really want to see a full length, you know, 400 lap, 350 lap race at this track, 4 points. Yep. And I'll argue, James, that, you know, I wanted to bring this up tonight. I teased on the Twitters that I was going to mention this tonight. This All-Star race, the Clash, these have played themselves out. And here's why. There is nothing to race for except for the win. That's it.
Yes.
That's all that matters. So unless you have a chance to win, there's no reason to race. So if you're running eighth on the last lap and you're, you know, 30 seconds behind the leader, you're not racing anymore because it doesn't matter if you make up that extra spot or if you're down a couple laps. You're not, you know, you're not getting more points. You're not getting more money. You're just, there's no reason to race. So you lose out on all that contact. And that's why these races have to be gimmicked. Because you need to have that. If you bunch everybody up with 20 laps to go, then now instead of one or two guys having a chance, now you've got 8 to 10 guys that have a chance. Now they're going to race for it. But unless you do that, you have to have the gimmick in these races, or there's no reason to race unless you're leading or second. And that's why I think we scrap these races, man, and just run a 38 race schedule. Make them points races. You're already making everybody go anyway. So give them freaking points for it. Get rid of these. We don't like the gimmicks. It was so refreshing to not have a gimmicky race. But the fact that there were no gimmicks also ruined the race, you know?
Yeah, you know, well, and I think, too, you know, I
don't
know.
We need a fun flag, James. NASCAR needs a fun flag for the. No, seriously, if there was one time.
The fun flag, I remember.
But if there was one time where you would give NASCAR the freedom to say, the show's getting a little boring, let's throw the yellow. This would be it, man.
Yeah. SRX got that right.
Can you imagine if they had thrown a caution with 20 to go? This race would have been awesome. I know, so it would have ruined the fun too, but
yeah. You know, I was thinking, why not? I mean, if we want to make this race a little more prestigious, put playoff points on the line for these guys.
Give them something. You
know? Give them a little extra incentive, especially, you know, like a guy like Bubba Wallace, you know, he could get a couple of playoff points.
Yeah.
That's definitely motivation for somebody like him who hasn't got a win yet this year.
Right.
You know, you get a little boost in the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying give him a whole heck of a lot, but maybe the winner gets, you know, maybe the winner gets 5 like a normal race, and maybe you hand out a couple of playoff points for maybe the podiums get the playoff points, you know.
Right.
Or something like that. But yeah, give them incentives. And you know, Eric, I don't mind gimmicking things up a little bit. I just would say, you know, the Clash was so bad
year. I would rather just not gimmick and just run the damn race and give them points.
Yep.
Just make it a regular weekend.
I was glad that this race was more normal. Like, it was just, there was a halftime in the middle, and then they raced it out.
They showed the whole format on one screen on the television.
Oh, my gosh. You remember how convoluted this... I mean, we've been through all the All-Star formats, Eric. I don't know if they can get any more convoluted than they've been, but holy cow. It's rough, man.
Yeah, it was very refreshing to have just a 200 lap race with a caution in the middle.
Remember the year that they tried doing different tires?
Yeah,
like F1, and it made absolutely no difference.
You could have done it here.
You could have tried.
You know, James, when they were in the caution for rain in the second heat race, Yep. When some of the teams were looking to going to put rain tires on and some of them were going to put slicks on, I wish they'd let them do it, man. I wanted to see that mix.
I really do think that NASCAR should leave it up to the teams.
Yeah, I agree.
With tires, they, yeah. Let them make their own, let them dig their own grave if they want to dig their own grave.
Exactly. I think it makes the strategy so much more interesting.
Those heat races were really good, though, because those tires were, I mean, those tires were absolutely junk.
Yeah.
After, after... after a few, you know, all the laps that they were racing out there. I mean, well,
I don't know if you listened to Denny's podcast, but he was whining because the second heat had the advantage because they got to run slicks.
Oh, yeah.
He was whining.
Of course. I mean, what were you going to do, control time and weather?
Too? Right. Denny,
sounds about right. Action's detrimental.
It's a good thing he's got a platform to whine on. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
I thought the wet weather tires in the heat races were the absolute perfect time to try it. We got to run them on the cup cars, got to see them in action. And on, I mean, you couldn't put them on a more abusive surface than this one and see how they how they handle.
Some of those tires looked like they had been through cheese graters, and it was nuts.
But it was the perfect scenario for NASCAR. Now they know when they go to a point situation and get to try it. They've seen under race conditions. They know what to expect, and that's awesome.
Yep.
Just so good.
Yep.
They had to be thrilled it was raining. That's it. Denny said that that Elton Sawyer told them that we're just gonna go out there. You guys aren't gonna start you if it's wet. We're just gonna have you guys work the track in a little bit and dry the track off because they couldn't use jet dryers because the jet dryers would blow the track up. And so Denny said they went out there and like five laps later they're throwing the green. He's like, oh, I guess he lied to me.
I guess we're going.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's, that track was scotch taped together, but it held for 200 laps.
It held. I mean, and now there's a lot of talk, repave or not repave. What do you do? Marcus says he's not going to, they're leaning towards not repaving it, but I don't know, man. It's tough. Here's the question, James. Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, go ahead. No, you're good, man. Go.
So when did we repave Darlington? It wasn't that long ago. It was like 10 years ago now or whatever, right?
Yeah, like the 20. There was a lot of those tracks that got repaved in the 2010, the 2013.
Darlington never fell off when they repaved it.
No,
so whatever they did at Darlington to repave it, let's do the same thing at North Wilkesboro.
Isn't Darlington notoriously super abrasive?
Yeah, I believe they have like seashells in the asphalt there.
Yeah, and it's like whatever's in the air, the sand and the dust and whatever really breaks that track down. Which, that's been the problem here where we are and up in Michigan. They made that blacktop so good.
Wow.
it's surviving Michigan winters.
Yeah. Marcus said that if and when they repave it, they're not going to make it a parking lot. They know they've learned things with paving. It's not about how long it's going to last. It's about how it races. And so that's good.
There's something too to be said about this surface that, not only has it been sitting for nearly 30 years without much activity on it and, weeds and, Dale Jr. cleaning it up for iRacing. This is the same surface that.
So cool.
I mean, Eric, how you walk into a facility and you can feel the ghosts sometimes. They say that about like Wrigley Field.
Dude, I'm getting chills right now because I did it last year.
You were there. I mean, you were there. Like, I walked the tunnel at University of Michigan Stadium. And, I'm not a Michigan football fan, but I can appreciate the history of the rivalry between Michigan, Ohio State, and the people, the legends that have walked in that tunnel from Bo Schembechler, Woody Hayes. I mean, it's a who's who of football lore. And that surface, even with the patches on it, Richard Petty, Dale Earnhardt, Darrell Waltrip, they all won races on that same surface. And now Kyle Larson gets to add his name to the list multiple times, with the heck of a weekend that he had. But I just think it's so cool to have, because
1984 is when that track was last repaved. So, 1984. So that clip you see all the time of, Brett Bodine winning his only race and Darrell Waltrip arguing that he didn't win it. That happened on that surface. The
Jeff Bodine lapping the field.
Earnhardt and Ricky Rudd getting together in turn one.
Shoot, the driver's picture on the start finish line is the same surface.
Yeah.
From 96 to now.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I mean, it's so cool, Eric, that they got to race. You know, you've been to Daytona, and you went to Daytona at an interesting time when they did repave it.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, Dale Earnhardt raced there, but not on that blacktop, you know, right. And which is you know, like, it's still obviously a special place, but I think it just adds to the, you know, I was just so excited about this whole weekend.
Yeah.
I think newer fans might be turned off by, oh man, you know, that wasn't that great. But I think nerds like you and I, this was kind of right in our wheelhouse, and there's, you know, there's always a place for NASCAR history to be hit a couple of times every year. And, you know, we went from Darlington to this, and we still got some, you know, we still got some of the old places, some of the places that really mean a lot to us are still on the schedule. And there's always, I think there's always a place for NASCAR to do something like this moving forward.
When Jeff Gordon won the last race at North Wilkesboro Speedway, Kyle Larson was 4 years old.
Yeah. Chase Briscoe said he was 2.
Yeah.
I think. Or something like that. Yeah.
It's just incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yep.
I would say almost none of those guys. There are only a few that were alive when the track was paved last.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 84. Couple of them.
Yeah. 84. So you're saying like Ryan Newman.
Yeah. Kevin Harvick.
Maybe Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
No, not even. I don't even.
No, well, Denny's 40.
Yeah, so Denny was, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a short list. Very, very short list.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah,
a bunch of babies on back then.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah, so the Kyle Larson show gets it done. Beautiful burnout all the way around the track. That was pretty cool. Not only that, but the most abrasive track on the circuit, and he didn't blow the tires doing that lap-long burnout.
So yeah,
that was pretty impressive.
The only way anybody could keep up with him all night was he was going backwards.
Right.
Yeah. I think I stole that from Chasm, but
nice.
Yep.
Bubba Wallace gets himself a second place finish, says, the best way to have a better shot at it next year in the All-Star race is to wreck Larson on lap one.
Yep.
That was, of course, after he flipped the bird to the camera. I don't know what that was all about.
It was a buddy.
Okay.
But you know, that wasn't even the big controversy from Bubba.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody got on their radio. I think, I guess we could talk about it now.
Yeah, but, we can.
I know you had it in the news, but yeah, somebody got on his radio and was being pretty belligerent to him.
Ridiculous.
Which we've had this happen a handful of times to drivers before, but I mean, come on, man.
The biggest thing I'll say is no matter how much you hate a driver, stop messing with these radios, because right now you can take any scanner and walk into a track and listen to the driver to crew communications.
Yep.
And you keep ruining it, they're going to switch to digital and you're not going to get that anymore. You're going to have to pay to subscribe to listen to that stuff.
Didn't this happen to Kyle Busch too?
It's happened to a lot of drivers. It happens more often than you realize. There are many instances where people will key a mic and hold it open during the race and they have to switch radios. I mean, all these teams have at least 2 radios in the car. Teams have more than that they can switch to. And there's a lot. I mean, there's bleed through and stuff, too. That's the spotters complain because they're right on top of the tower and there's so much radio waves that go through there that they lose signal all the time. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, this has happened. I mean, the frequencies are public. So if you have a way to program the frequencies, anybody can do this. It doesn't take an expert, you know, to do it.
Boo and heckle all you want. I know Bubba gets booed a lot, and that's fine. You don't have to like him.
Right.
But it's not what you're doing there is basically you're running in during the timeout and, you know, screaming in everybody's face. This isn't heckling by any means. It's just being stupid.
Yeah. It's dumb.
And ruining the fun for everybody else when you do crap like that.
The thing is the we hate Bubba because he's black thing. It's over, guys.
It's old.
It's so old. It's so antiquated. Grow up. Like, come on.
Yeah, you don't have to like him.
No.
Dislike him all you want.
Yeah.
But
he gives you a reason not to like him. I mean, he's a likable person, but he also is abrasive. And
when he finishes in the top three, he can, and I love Bubba, but he can be annoying.
Yeah.
And I totally understand. I totally get it, man. But it just because he doesn't look like you doesn't mean you should do stuff like this and tell him he doesn't belong in NASCAR. Cause he definitely does. He's a 2-time winner in the Cup Series. He belongs, guys. He's a good race car driver. Yeah. Not the best Not the worst. He's pretty darn good, though. I think he's better than most.
So yeah,
he's here. He's here to stay for a while.
Yep. What else with the All-Star race? I mean, there's just not much to talk about. You know, we only had two leaders in this race. Daniel Suarez led for 55 laps. Kyle Larson led for 145. That was it.
There wasn't a whole lot of action throughout the field. I mean, there was no comers and go. I mean, Brad Keselowski kind of came and went and he fizzled out. Denny Hamlin took a weird shot at Daniel Suarez early.
Yeah.
Which Clint Bowyer's like, oh, he overdrove it in the corner. I'm like, I think he was trying to get him.
Maybe he got confused and thought it was Chastain.
Oh, dang it. Man. So internally, I was wondering if he was going to come up on the podcast tonight. I was like, you think he's going to come up?
Yeah.
And I led you into it.
You did. You did.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to
put it down. I was going to mention that there was really nothing to talk about Ross Chastain with this week.
I know. I was going to let you know beforehand to see if we could get through the whole podcast without talking about Ross. But darn it, there he is. He came up. Because he was actually... He wasn't the only no-show, by the way. I mean, lots of guys were no-shows. You know, when you got Larson doing what he's doing, there's not a whole lot of room for anybody else. I mean,
yeah,
Kyle Busch
looked terrible.
Byron pitted under green too. He was out of it.
Yeah. Harvick was nothing in this, really. I mean, honestly, nobody. Your top three. Hamlin was good in the beginning and then fell off.
Yep.
Other than that, yeah, you got Kyle Larson, you got Bubba Wallace and Tyler Reddick who came through the field, and that was it. I mean, nobody else did anything. Suarez led until Larson passed him, and everybody else was just in the way.
Yeah, there was the Recce Spinhouse had cut in front of Eric Jones. That was pretty much the only action we got.
Yeah.
And then Darrell Waltrip and Clint Bowyer arguing in the booth was kind of right. Fun.
Yeah.
I was fun having Darrell in the booth.
I cringed at the beginning waiting for him to squeeze in his boogity boogity boogity, but they must have told him no.
Oh, because
he did not do it at the start. So
he didn't do his boogity boogity. I didn't even catch. Yeah, you know, another thing I keep saying I was texting you, but I mean, I was trying to kill some time. I thought it was pretty hilarious that poor Mike Joy was having to carry this race and come up with stats
and
try to do all the filler. And at one point, they were doing something. I messaged you and said, I think they've run out of filler.
Right.
Like, they've got nothing left. We got to get through these next 20 laps or whatever it was. I will tell you, though, Eric, having a race end at an hour and 40 minutes.
Right. Whew,
really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. I was ready to go to bed by 10 o'clock.
So. I really think the only thing that hurt this race is the halfway break. I kind of wish it had just been 200 laps. Go and run till you're done.
Yeah.
I mean, there may not have been a caution, but it would have been fun.
Yep. Or just tell them, hey, you have to make one green flag stop during this race and see how that goes. I don't know. Interesting though. Yeah.
Yeah. So Kyle Larson has now won what, three All-Star races, all at different tracks?
Three All-Star races, three different tracks.
Yep. Second youngest to win his third All-Star race. Jeff Gordon got his third at 29 years old. Larson is 30. Jimmy Johnson at 36 years old. Dale Earnhardt at 42 years old. It's Hendrick Motorsports' 11th victory in the NASCAR All-Star race, which is a series most. Bubba Wallace had his best career finish in the All-Star race with the runner up, and Larson wins over $1 million with the 2023 All-Star race victory. Young money, man.
He likes them checks.
Yes, he does.
And his wife was shotgunning beers with her Winston Cup hat on.
Yeah, except they cut away on the TV broadcast. Oh, yeah. Watch it. But she did it again in Victory Lane, so that's all right.
Yeah, Caitlin Larson, legendary beer shotgunner. So keep that going. I like that.
The race that did have excitement, though, James, the All-Star Open did not disappoint as it
that was a good one.
Usually does not. Ty Gibbs and Michael McDowell get into each other during this one. Michael McDowell takes a run at Gibbs, costs him potentially the win in this. I don't think he cost him the win in this race because I think Josh Berry was passing him anyway. But definitely held him up. Almost cost him a chance to race in the All-Star race. What'd you think of the contact with Michael McDowell? And then what do you think of the retaliation?
I think Ty drove through him.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's Ty. You know,
dude, it's the freaking Open.
I know. Yeah, go for it, man.
Yeah.
And I thought McDowell retaliated in fairness.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't dump him. I mean,
no.
Yeah, Ty ruined his day, but, you know, McDowell's car was in pretty bad shape.
Right.
But, you know, he let him know he wasn't happy with him, and I think it's over. But, yeah. Ty drove through him, you know.
McDowell was, his TV interview was interesting. He said that he didn't have the budget to go down and do something about it. But he was with the reporters after the race, after he was off TV, he basically said that he'll be mad until he on his way home, and he'll be over it by next week. And it was racing and short track, and then it was the Open, and it's just how it is. And
yep,
he understands it. So, but hey, at the moment, and I, like you said, he did everything right. He roughed up. He made sure that Gibbs didn't get by him easy the first time by. The second time by, he wasn't in the way. I don't know if he tried. He was pretty sideways, but I think the car just wasn't tracking straight at that point.
Yeah, he was pretty bad shape.
So, I mean, McDowell's not an idiot. If he really wanted to take Gibbs completely out of it, he could have, but he didn't do that. So,
yeah. And we know he's not a fighter. Daniel Suarez proved that
right
at one point. Another thing that was funny in this race was Ryan Newman. He got involved with some stuff.
Yeah.
Just basically said, that's just Ty Dillon. He's been struggling in this series for a long time.
Yep.
I was like, man, crotchety Ryan Newman's back. He's coming with a bad attitude.
Well, he's got that same dry sense of humor that Matt Kenseth has.
Yeah.
That was a piece of it. Newman sounds angry when he's doing it, but he's not always. When I got the chance to have that interview with him or the chat with him in Kentucky a few years ago, that's what it was like, man. It was so damn funny. But yeah, he's so dry, and you're like, you don't know whether to take him seriously or not.
I also think his neck is actually getting shorter. I can't wait till he's back out there with the SRX boys
and
girls here soon. Ryan's really, I was having a hard time with him coming back, but honestly, he's been fine. He's been good for a couple of good quotes so far. I hope he keeps it up here every time he races.
As we mentioned, Josh Berry gets the win, makes his way into the All-Star race. Pretty fitting considering that 48 car was supposed to be in it anyway.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
Good to see Josh do that. Good run for an up and coming Cup Series driver who will likely see full time in the Cup Series. I don't know. Maybe next year.
Yes.
Maybe next year. Maybe in a 4 car. I don't know. We'll see.
Something like that happens. Yep.
Noah Gregson gets the fan vote with a banged up car. Decided to turn a little bit early into turn one and, wrecked a few on the way. I think Gregson probably deserves the most credit for his, Tim Richmond imitation. Everybody missed it. So, okay. I'm pretty sure everybody knows the story now about the Tim Richmond All-Star photo.
I don't know if everybody does.
What year was it? Do you remember what year it is?
86. Well, he got sick in what, 88?
Yeah, I think it was 84.
He was driving the Folgers car back then.
I don't know. So they do a group photo of all the All-Star competitors every year. And in this famous photo, apparently, Richmond is positioned behind Neil Bonnett. And well, his waist is behind Neil Bonnett.
And there's an appendage.
There's an appendage, and there's a lot of debate over what the appendage is. The people who know Richmond well assume it to be what you're thinking it shouldn't be.
Well, it is. The picture is hanging in Jimmy Johnson's office, by the way.
Yes.
It's his favorite photo. So
it very well could be a finger. But considering the subject of it, it probably isn't. NASCAR famously gobbled up as many of these as they could and redistributed the poster.
Oh yeah, they're out there.
Yeah, they're out there. You can find it online. And you will look and question probably so many people.
We got here on the pod. Yeah.
So anyway, so Gregson happens to position his finger in the perfect location, and you know it's Gregson, so you know it's intentional because Gregson wants to be Tim Richmond, and he's doing a very good job of it.
Right behind poor Harrison Burton.
So good.
And all I could think of is Harrison's poor mom. Right. Kim, right? Kim Burton.
Kim Burton.
I mean, she was always on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid. I mean, she was the Samantha Bush before Samantha Bush.
Yep.
And all I could think of is his poor mom saw that photo. And I just, it makes me laugh.
Noah,
that was so good.
Noah, you are the greatest. Do not ever change.
What a legend.
And you know what? It got him the fan vote. Which, by the way, I think the fan vote is the dumbest thing in the All-Star race.
I love how they did it this year, though.
Yeah.
They just, Clint called him up and said, hey, you're in. Just loved it.
Yeah, I like it, but I think it's so dumb. I mean, the fan vote guy never does anything. Half the time, he's got a damaged car.
One time, the fan vote guy did something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Casey Kane won an All-Star race off the fan vote.
Yeah, I think
Just once, though. I mean, honestly, Eric, you're right. I mean, how many times did Danica win it?
Right. It's just a wasted spot in the field, but
gives fans interaction, if anything, you know. Yeah. That's probably the only thing.
I guess so. It's
But
I mean, couldn't go to a more deserving guy than Noah Gregson. Super happy to have him in the Cup Series. Man, we need him. Need him competitive.
Yeah, hopefully next year we'll start seeing some.
I hope so.
Some gains, but yeah, I'd like to see him competing for wins again.
With that, I think we leave the All-Star race in the dust. We already talked about the heat races. Anything else worth mentioning before we move on to the Truck Series really quick? Because that's not going to take very long.
I'll end with this. I really enjoyed all of it.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed all of it. And,
okay, James, we know we're coming back to North Wilkesboro, right?
Oh, they spent too much money. Yeah.
NASCAR's coming back to North Wilkesboro. So do you kill the All-Star race, just make this a points race? Do you run the All-Star race here again, or do you run a points race here and move the All-Star race somewhere else? What's your thought?
If I, knowing NASCAR, they're going to do this again.
Yeah.
They're going to do one more All-Star race and then they'll move it to a full-time. It will be on the schedule at some point.
I agree. I would not be surprised to see it be a triple header next year and run Xfinity cars here as well.
I could see it as the Clash as well.
Yeah. Well, you can't run at the beginning of the year, though, because it's 30 degrees in North Carolina in February. So,
yeah,
that's asking a lot of out of that place. I mean, people are going to show up, but
depends on,
you don't want to stack the deck against that track.
The thing with the Clash is, does it always have to be in front of Daytona?
That's
true. That's always been my since they moved it to the stadium. That's been my wonder, is if NASCAR is going to schedule that thing around.
Yeah.
You can't run New York in February, but man, it'd be cool to run a race in New York.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I wonder.
Yeah. I think I want them to kill the All-Star race and make this a points race. But realistically, I think you're right. I think we'll run the All-Star race here again next year.
Yeah,
honestly, if you're going to do it, I mean, I think the best way to do the All-Star race is to run it somewhere that we don't race on regularly. If you're going to continue to do it, run it somewhere we don't race on for points.
Yeah.
So if that's North Wilkesboro, I still want to see a points race here. I think they've got room for it. The infrastructure is there. They had no traffic issues whatsoever, which was awesome. I think it's definitely deserving of an actual Cup date. One other thing that I gathered from this, James, with all the people they had there, I mean, this place was packed last August, and they fit a good, maybe third more people there for this race than they did for that. And it had no traffic issues.
Yep.
There is no reason based on this that they could not run a Cup race at Eldora. I'm sorry. Eldora has a very similar infrastructure to this track. Eldora could certainly host a Cup race without much improvement. Just putting that out there. If we want to save the dirt race at Bristol and run it at Eldora,
call the big man.
We could do it.
Call the boss.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, honestly, walking into this place last year, it was like walking into Eldora. It really had the same sort of feel, same size. I mean, I think there's more room at Eldora. You got all those fields to park people in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Yep.
And plenty of access. I think there's better access to the track in Eldora than there is here. I mean, here there's really two lines off the highway, and that's about it. So
we'd have to, who was at this race is our buddy Derek. We'd have to probably.
Yeah, I know. I saw that he was going to that.
And I haven't had a chance
to about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say I have to get a hold of him maybe and see what he thought.
Yeah,
I haven't had a chance to reach out to him, but I thought about that when he was out there. But I know you've been there, and it's like, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, it hurt a little bit to not be there this year. But it's cool that I got to experience last year. So
it is, yeah.
And they're not done. They're putting more improvements into the place. There's more plans. So
yep.
Look pretty damn good, that's for sure. With that, James, Truck Series race there as well. By the way, Kyle Larson won this as well. This race is a little bit wilder, but
the Truck Series will do that to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, for a truck race, is pretty clean. Kyle Larson leads 138 laps of this thing, basically once he got the lead and never looked back. Finished 8th in Stage 1, finished 1st in Stage 2, and then won the race. Carson Hocevar, Bubba Wallace, Corey Heim, and William Byron all led laps in this race. First stage was won by Corey Heim. This one was interesting because most of the guys in this race were not born when this track was raced last.
Yeah.
But I thought the Trucks put on a good show. I think they put on a better show than the Cup Series, other than the prestige of the Cup Series. I think this race was a better race.
Didn't Haley Deegan get into some stuff? Didn't she?
Yeah, I don't know. I just know she was turned around. Did you hear there was more to that?
I thought she had gotten into somebody. I could be wrong. I didn't watch this whole race, honestly, but I watched towards the end.
I watched the whole race, but I didn't watch any post-race stuff because I watched it really late. So so I don't really have much input past that.
Yeah, I don't see anything on the accident report, so I could be wrong. I'm looking at the caution flag breakdown.
Well, she was definitely turned around at one point for one of the cautions. So, yeah, lap
66. Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah, lap 66. Yeah. The 56, yep. Okay.
So... but I mean, it was a decent race other than Kyle Larson running away with it. It's his third victory in 15, NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series races. First victory and first top 10 in 2023.
That's pretty good. Pretty good winning percentage there for old Larson.
Yeah.
3 out of 15. It's not bad.
Definitely. Ty Majeski finished second, Matt DiBenedetto third, Daniel Dye, highest finishing rookie. Kyle Larson becomes the third different winner of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series at North Wilkesboro Speedway. Mike Bliss and Mark Martin are the other two. Interesting because, you know, you don't really think about the fact the Truck Series was in existence when we raced here last.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was baby. It was just the baby series back then.
Yep. This was a super speedway to them back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, second victory for Spire Motorsports in the Craftsman Truck Series. William Byron won at Martinsville last year. Kevin Mannion's 9th career victory in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
We should mention too, Larson was the super sub.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. It was supposed to be Alex Bowman. It was
supposed to be Alex Bowman's ride. And it sounds like Alex is doing better, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's move into the news because
let's go.
That's the rumor is that Bowman could return at Charlotte this week.
Excellent.
Not surprising to not want to put him in the All-Star race. There's really no point to run him a week early for a non-points race.
And get hurt.
But definitely a good chance to earn some points back at Charlotte with 4 stages. And, I guess they were saying his big concern is, dropping the jack and how that's going to feel. Which not surprising if you just broke your back. So,
yeah. And if you hit the wall too, I mean, geez.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, definitely. So, but good to hear that Bowman might be back and he's doing better. So
first race back 600 miles. That's right? tough. That's a,
yeah, but I mean, these guys are fit and in shape. I mean, he hasn't been gone that long. I know he broke his back and I'm talking like it's nothing, but
yeah,
these guys they're wired different. So.
Yeah, they're pros.
Yeah. NASCAR Xfinity Series could move exclusively to streaming with the new TV deal. James, what do you think of this?
Oh, I'm so excited to see this.
I am, except I'm so afraid.
I like this idea. Well, I like this idea though, because you increase the footprint. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's hard because
Supercross is like this right now. And yeah. It just, it doesn't increase the footprint though, because it just gives you fewer places to watch the race.
Here's my thoughts on it. Now, you always are going to want, and NASCAR, they make huge mistakes by going and putting the races on FS1 and NBC Sports.
Oh, yeah.
And they lose so many viewers on those races when they're not nationally broadcast. But for the Xfinity Series, if you were to drop that in on streaming, I think that's a really nice home for Xfinity and trucks, because hopefully they land on one partner and you always know where the race is. And I think you'd get a lot of people who may not ever see NASCAR because they're always in streaming land, But you use those series to catch a few new eyeballs. You know, you're going to get your diehards over there anyway.
Yeah.
But if you can get a few new eyeballs who may never, you know, they're all cable cutters and they're never exposed to any sort of racing. But if you put them on Amazon, that's going to be a really nice little, you know, subsidiary for what NASCAR is trying to do overall. You got to keep the Cup Series on linear TV, but if you drop the minor leagues over on streaming, I think that's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid of not taking the top product and making it harder to find. That's my only concern with it.
Well, I think
because the Xfinity Series is a great product right now, and it doesn't. I mean, it gets good eyeballs. It's still, you know, the second best racing series pretty much every week.
Yes, of course, absolutely.
But man, you're talking a million people every weekend now that are going to have to go searching for that.
The thing I think, you know, also plays a role in this is, and if you partner with a streamer, these tech companies, especially Amazon, they have an endless budget.
Yeah.
There is no dollar that they can't come up with. And I think where that comes into play with NASCAR is everything else outside of the live broadcast. You can do docs, you can do, all sorts of different types of content.
If this thing moves, you know it's going to be the NASCAR Amazon series or whatever.
Oh, of course.
It's sponsored by Xfinity right now, and Xfinity is not going to continue to sponsor it on a streaming platform. So
nope, and that agreement ends in 2024, I believe.
Yep. Yeah,
so that's correct. You know, and you can't blame NASCAR either, because if you can turn a bigger profit off of the Xfinity series as well. I mean, you're talking a lot of money. Like
you've got to test the waters because streaming's coming.
Yeah, and you gotta exactly. It gets you there, and it's a bridge to whatever comes next. But you also get, you know, how much is Fox and NBC going to pay for the Xfinity series?
Right.
You know what I mean? Amazon, they can come in there, just clean up, and you can. And we all know NASCAR loves money.
Right.
They can do a lot of good things there, and I would be excited about the possibility of the extra content. You know, that documentary series they did last year, what was it on USA? Didn't really do much.
Yeah.
But they don't have the. You know, you don't have the eyeballs going to it.
Yeah.
So you get that out in front of people who, you know, a lot of people have Amazon, obviously. You can actually start making, you know, kind of going back to what I said, you can kind of increase your footprint just a little bit in many different ways. So I'm hopeful.
I'm just afraid of change.
And that's fine. I understand that too.
My biggest thing is I've found a way to be able to time shift with what we have. And I'm afraid of not having that ability as easily anymore. So
yeah, I get that.
I mean, some of the services do a really good job of letting you go back on live broadcasts. I know Apple's really good with their Friday Night Baseball, even though I never watch baseball. NBC, at least on the Apple TV, Peacock is awful to try and go back. It will only let you go back so far. So like Supercross, if I start too late in the broadcast, I can only go back to like partway through to watch.
Yeah.
I can't watch back at the beginning until it's over with. And then I might as well have a freaking VCR, you know? So
I think too, Eric, you got to think of this. Amazon got in the NFL business.
Yeah.
So they've already, I mean, that's the NFL doesn't partner with people that aren't going to deliver. You know what I mean?
Well, and the other thing is for NASCAR, it's all upside because, you know, NBC's not bringing in more money right now. NBC's bringing in less. Fox is bringing in less. Amazon and Netflix and these guys, they are hurting right now. They're swimming in cash. So
yep,
it ain't going to hurt them at all to throw some extra money to get an exclusive deal. So
exactly. And you hear like, you know, Netflix will say that the business model is, you know, is struggling, but they're still making a bunch of money.
Right.
You know, the model is changing, but it's, you know, it's not dire by any means. The tech companies are doing just fine.
The other positive thing that could come from this is that, you know, if right now the truck series, you know, we complain about it basically being an afterthought on Fox because Fox really doesn't give a crap about it. It's just something they have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, you move one of these lower series over to be the top product at one of these other services. Now they're paying full attention to it and it's going to get the love that it deserves. Yeah. Not only that, but they're trying to court the Cup Series to get them over there eventually too. So even better. I mean,
I'm really excited about the thing. NASCAR has options, you know, and that's really exciting.
Yeah,
you know, I think we knew they would have options, but there might be a little bit of a bidding war here.
Right.
And that's good for NASCAR.
The lower series.
Yeah.
It's even better, man.
Yeah. What do they say about rising tides? Right.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got more skin in the game with all these different companies, especially Amazon, you know, like if Netflix were in, you know, if Netflix were in on this, I wouldn't be as excited. But since it's Amazon, I'm definitely more optimistic. Even Apple, like Apple has a pretty nice product, but not everybody's an Apple person. But a whole heck of a lot of people are Amazon. You know what I mean? So a lot of people get that Amazon Plus, man. You know, Amazon Prime? You know,
yeah,
so everything's a Plus, right, or a Prime. But yeah, everybody's got Amazon Prime, and you can get your streaming and your groceries all at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, there you go. I don't have any other news items. I just checked JSki. I don't see anything new on there. So that's what we got for the news right now, James. We head this weekend into the greatest day in racing, greatest day in motorsports. I'm gonna try and do the triple this weekend. See if the fam will let me do it. Get up early, watch the Monaco Grand Prix. Watch the Indy 500 and then finish it off with the Coke 600. A full day of racing. The boys had their birthday this weekend, and I told my wife, I said, we can do whatever we want to do next Saturday, but leave Sunday open. So I'm sure that I'll probably lose out on that deal. But anyway, that's what time shifting is for. So
yep,
hopefully the weather's good. Looking forward to the Indy 500. Really excited about that. Man, I was watching some of the practice today. And I actually had to check, like I had the sound off in my office and I had to turn the sound up and make sure I was watching practice and not a race, because they were running like they were racing.
Yep.
Had our first big wreck of the month too, today. So
yeah, some crazy stuff came out of that.
But
Larson was out there this week.
Yeah.
Getting ready for a year from now.
Denny Hamlin says he wouldn't run it if he was given the opportunity.
Kyle Busch says his opportunities might be coming to an end. Yeah, I hope not.
He said Larson got his deal.
That's really, man. I hope not. Like I hope too. I hope Kyle gets a shot.
Me too. Me too. But he's running out of time, man.
Yeah, he's getting older.
Yep.
Remember when Tony Stewart, 2 years ago or something, said that he was going to try to do it again, and we just kind of laughed.
Yeah.
And nothing has ever come of it.
Right.
Nothing at all.
We need Jimmy to do it.
Well, he tried it, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
He did it a year ago, and he didn't he lead? Yeah, I think he lead in crash.
Yeah, but he hasn't done both, though. He hasn't done the double.
He never done the double.
That's what we need him to do as a double, because he's racing this weekend, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's back. Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, we are here to talk about the Coca-Cola 600, longest race on the schedule, 600 miles, 4 whole stages. Opportunities for those of us who are way behind in points to catch up, which won't happen for me, but anyway, I am still trailing. Of course, we didn't do points this week with the All-Star race, but I would have won had we, my pick. But James, just to recap, leads by 193 points over me. And with that, I get the first pick. And James, I was telling you before we started recording tonight, I have gone through and planned out my picks. Now, they're subject to change, but I've planned out my picks for the rest of the regular season. And I've realized that I don't have as many good drivers left as I was hoping I did. So this pick is not a bad pick, I don't think, but it is a pick of convenience and of filling out without just going with all the big names and leaving myself with nothing at the end. So I'm going to go with an RFK car because I think they're clicking right now, and I can't pick Brad cause I already picked him. So I'm going with Chris Buescher.
Oh, well, there you go. Chris Buescher it is.
Christopher Buescher.
Oh man. I have a few options here. One that stuck out to me is I haven't used William Byron yet.
I know, me neither.
And I'm like, you know, and the thing about this race, we have to remember, this is an extra 10 points.
Yes. Yes, it is.
On the line. You famously kicked my butt with this race 1 year. Who won that race? Was it Did Larson win that race? I can't remember. You maxed out. You
it
maxed
was Larson
out
or Truex.
You won. It might have been Truex. You won all the stages and the race, and that was you devastated me.
I know
that
you're
week.
Telling me this, and now I'm wishing that I would have went with Ross Chastain because Ross was going to be my pick until I realized that I need to save him.
Yeah, one guy who runs really well here. I might regret not taking William Byron here. I'm gonna use my Rowdy pick right here because he's been good. He was really good at Auto Club. He's got some stuff going on. So I'll take Rowdy. I'll use my Rowdy pick here. He might not do as good as William Byron, but I still got that one in the chamber if I ever need it. So with a couple of races I like William Byron at, I'll hang on to him here one more time.
Nice. Well, I hope you plan to use them on the week that I want to use them. So,
yeah, we both have them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So there you go. That's our picks for this week at the Coca-Cola 600. I don't think anything really too crazy going on this weekend, with the race. But yeah, Jimmy Johnson back in action, so that'll be cool. Neither of us picked Jimmy, so there you go. James, do you want to do a fantasy recap or not? Because I don't know if you're ready for it or not.
Nah, we're good. Fantasy.
Okay.
Nothing.
Barron's
new this
running
week,
away
obviously.
With it, so yep. That's all that matters. Well, you guys yep. all know that. So Barron Speedway is kicking our ass, making
yep.
us all look terrible.
Yep.
But that's so cool. We like
it was,
that.
It was really nice to watch a race and not have to think about it. I'm
it
gonna
was.
Be honest with you.
It yeah. was. I agree. James,
I'll take the break.
Got any shout outs this week?
I used one of mine. Was Carson Hocevar.
There you go.
That was good. Also. It was really cool just seeing the size of the tweet up. Hopefully I didn't take yeah. yours.
No, you didn't.
But Bill, Jeff and Bob were out there and Jordan and massive tweet up and just made me reminisce of, you know, the tweet up at Eldora that we went to that, you know, I have fond memories of. So
it's cool.
That was a really cool one. I mean, there was like hundreds of people there. It was huge. Absolutely huge.
I already did mine, with the Noah Gregson thing. Cause I just got to shout out Noah for being Noah. Good on him, but just in general, everybody for showing up. I mean, obviously we knew they were going to show up. They sold this place out well before, you know, this race. I mean, people like me who went to the Revival last year, didn't even get a chance to buy tickets for this thing. So big shout out to all the North Wilkesboro, you know, James, So how many times do you hear the story about the people who bought the house by the racetrack and now they're bitching because the track's too loud and all that stuff? And it was exactly the opposite of North Wilkesboro. These people yep. wanted this track back. They've yep. begged to have this track back. And guess what? Damn it. When they brought it back, they all showed up.
Yep.
And what a great showing. It's been done multiple times now with this particular place. I do take... a little exception to Mike Joy saying that this is the first time that a sports facility has been left to die and then been brought back. Because, James, there's a track right around the corner from my house called Tri-City Motor Speedway.
Oh, yeah.
Which was very similar. And
very much dead.
That is racing and live and well right now. So, sorry, North Wilkesboro, you weren't first. But that's okay. I'm still a big fan of this. Big fan of everybody turning out. Hopefully, I mean, like you said, they put money into this place. It's not going away anytime soon, but keep showing up, man. Keep filling those stands. That's what we need to see out here. Next, Rockingham, maybe Nashville. I know
Nashville's on the radar.
There's more Nashville news this week again. They're meeting again, so it's getting closer. I think it might happen. So
yeah, I think honestly, once SRX went there. That was the Dale Jr. moment for Nashville.
Yeah, it really
honestly,
was.
I really believe that. Like,
I agree.
I think they opened everybody's eyes to this could work. We've got good racing, and then Chase Elliott obviously winning that race was huge.
It also doesn't hurt that the folks behind that are from Bristol, which is the same organization that just did North Wilkesboro.
Right, and I, you know, I think back fondly to that race because the right guy won at the right time. And the, you know, that event may change, you know, change some NASCAR history eventually here. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Speaking of that, and thanks for mentioning that, because I wanted to shout that out as well. We had an SRX car on the track at Berlin Raceway today.
Yep. I missed it by a freaking week, man. I was just out there. If I had known that was going to happen, I would have rescheduled my meeting and
that's
I would have
funny
moseyed on over there. but that's okay.
James, you got any black flags this week?
Yeah, there was a, and I lost the tweet, but there was a late model race where somebody wrecked another person on purpose, and this madness needs to stop, because the person who got wrecked got hurt, and that's just not cool.
Yeah, that's stupid. They,
both cars got destroyed pretty bad. It's on Twitter somewhere. I can't find it though. I had it.
Up.
Yeah, I had it and I lost it. But yeah, one car jumps another and it's not good. Not great.
Black flag for me. We already mentioned it, but the folks chiming in on Bubba's radio. And also apparently there was a brawl on the front stretch in the grandstands too. So black flag to you guys as well.
Well, people were there all day inebriated. Right. So, you know, the fact that it took that long is pretty, pretty astonishing. Plus there was a Dierks Bentley concert. Yeah. So there was probably, I mean, the amount of alcohol consumed at that place has to be very, very high.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't even going to give a black flag because just feel good weekend for NASCAR for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
With that, James, where can people find you on social media if they want to hit you up during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Subscribe there for new episodes each week. Wherever you found us today, we hope you subscribe and continue to listen. And if you go to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway, you can leave us an audio message and we might just play it on the show. It is the greatest day in motorsports next weekend. The Formula One, IndyCar, and NASCAR Cup Series all in action on Sunday. We'll be back next week to talk about it all, break it all down, and get you ready for the next week of racing. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.